At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, the big news isn't that it's National Filet Mignon Day, although that is news.
That's kind of news.
Yeah. is that the Lions and Dolphins are participating in joint practices. And look, we'll just state what we're seeing without any overreaction. The Lions look great today. Every drill that we have seen, the Lions, whether it's the offense versus the Dolphins defense or the Lions defense versus the Dolphins offense, the Lions have looked like the better of the two teams in almost every way. It stands out. It's obvious. We're reading stuff out of Miami. The Miami reporters are here kind of saying the same thing.
Look, it's also National Prosecco Day. it doesn't mean we're popping bottles because of a nice practice. Right. See how I worked that in, Doug?
Yes.
That's a professional right
Yes,
there.
We're not overreacting. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. We're not going to overreact to it.
We'll get to some Tiger stuff this hour. Let's get to your phone calls. Tommy is in Auburn Hills, and I'm 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Tommy.
Man, just having a day. You got me thinking about that. Yeah, the steak, the meat. Yeah, my favorite is a prime rib, and I grew up in Clawson, and if Jansen's listening, he'll have to text you and agree with me on this. The Clawson Steakhouse.
It's a great steakhouse.
They make the best prime rib, and it's like just you get a huge slab of meat, and you get the large size. Unless you're really, really hungry, eat the whole thing. You're going to take a lot home, and it's like you can enjoy it again, and it's like just it's wonderful, That's what I got to say about that.
I went there for a rehearsal dinner in 2007, and the dinner was spectacular at the Clawson Steakhouse. It was just incredible.
Just other than the size, what makes their steak so good? Oh, we lost them.
You know who would know?
Well, he said Jansen.
Well, I was going to say, the pride of Clawson himself would be all about that. He's probably driving off the road right now. Oh, dude, let me tell you.
Yeah, he might be driving straight here to right? join us live at practice. Bill is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Bill.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bill.
Hey. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to talk about the Tigers. The screener said you were going to start taking some Tiger calls.
Yeah, we're good with that. Go.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear the Lions are looking so good today. I try not to overreact, and that's one of the reasons why I really enjoy your guys' show, because you're not overreactionary. But I'm trying not to be right now. Yeah, I see today's game as being pretty damn important. I think that I'm really worried about Flaherty. I'm starting to really worry. And just a note to AJ, please no more Tommy Canley. That's the 86.
Tommy Canley is really trying Tigers fans' patience, and I'm sure it's affecting the staff right now too. Of what are they going to do with him, because he just hasn't been good at all. He's been completely unreliable, and it's a problem. Jack Flaherty, I thought pitched really well last night. You get into that fifth inning, and it was just strange.
It was strange.
Bloop hit after bloop hit after soft hit, no hard contact at all, but somehow every one of those found its way to the turf beyond the fielder's reach. And I was actually encouraged by Jack Flaherty compared to his last start, where he just got hit a ton and hard hit. This was different, and I felt bad for him because I thought he pitched well.
Well, he had a season-high 19 swings and misses, okay? And he didn't get out of the fifth inning. And he was fooling Chicago hitters. And in that disastrous fifth inning, where the White Sox loaded the bases with nobody out, he had the stuff to get out of it. there were just some bat throws. Like, literally, guys are fooled and swinging at pitches out of the zone where they would throw the bat. And to their credit, these are two-strike emergency swings. And I'm in trouble, and I get the barrel of the ball, the barrel of the bat on the ball in a save-me kind of swing. And guess what? They get a single out of
yeah.
it. And there was also one that was hit that came off the bat at 107 miles per hour. All in all, look, I don't think it was a disastrous outing for Jack Flaherty. The result was pretty disastrous. The fifth inning was disastrous.
It was,
but 19 whiffs, a season high.
That's a lot. And the contrast of the fifth inning, where there was such soft contact with the first inning,
yeah.
where he had two fly balls that looked like they're going to be out of the ballpark,
both.
And they were,
yeah.
you know, just hit to the warning track, and the outfielders made the plays on them. That's baseball, right? Hard contact led to outs, and then soft contact led to base runners.
So, it, you know, as far as what he said about today's game, you know, one baseball game doesn't make or break your season, but to an extent, I agree with him. I think today is kind of important. It's about winning series, and the White Sox is not a team you should lose a series to. I know, like, the last – since the All-Star break, they've averaged – close to 6 runs a game, which has really been a turnaround for them offensively. They've been way better, and it's post All-Star break, and if you look at their run totals, they put up some big run totals, and they did again last night. So they're more formidable. They figured some stuff out, and the Tigers, I think it, you know, I go back to the baseline expectation, win the series. And, you know, as Bill said, there is a tendency, you know, we try and tap the brakes and usually see the big picture. A series loss to the White Sox isn't good. It just isn't good. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it or tell you otherwise. This is a series that they should win. And if they don't at this time of the season with what's on the line, it'll be disappointing. Now, what do they got going today? And they play this afternoon. They got Troy Melton, and they called up Sawyer Gibson Long. They're starting Troy Melton, so they're still piecing it together here a little bit of who their go-to guys are going to be, and we're late in the season with a first-place team.
Yeah, here's what I'm curious about with this afternoon's game. With Melton being named the starter, is how many innings are they going to give him? Is he going to be, like, pitching into the sixth inning if he's pitching well? Or is this like, look, we got to ramp you down. We're going to use you every couple days out of the bullpen, so, or every few days, so maybe he's only going to go 2 or 3 innings. I don't know. I'm curious to see what the usage is. And, of course, it's going to be largely dependent on, you know, how he's pitching. But if he's pitching really well, does AJ take him out after 3 and turn things over to somebody else?
We'll see what happens there. Bottom line is, last night was disappointing, but it's one game, right?
Yeah.
It's one game, and try not to get too excited about one game, nor get too down over one game. But a series is a whole different thing. And the series is on the line today, and I'm – yeah, I think there's some premium on this game today, and it is what it is. Now, as far as other things, what's going on with Jamai Jones?
Well, I think maybe the Jamai Jones experiment, it's time to look elsewhere and give somebody else a chance who's hitting well right now, and to me it's Justin Henry Molloy. I like Jamai Jones's heart. I liked it earlier in the season. He was, you know, a pinch hit situation, would just thrive in it, but he is he's in a kind of a big slump here, and it's a bit of a problem when you look at what he's done. And he had the opportunity. He comes in last night, and he's hitting for – was he hitting for Carpenter? They took Carpenter out because of the lefty-lefty situation, and they're not giving him that opportunity last night. Jamai Jones comes in and goes 0-for-3 in pretty good matchup situations, and he just didn't get it done. Meanwhile, Riley Green, who is not hitting lefties as well as Curry Carpenter is, he's not being taken out. And I'm not saying he should be. I'd like to see both guys stay in and have that chance. But Jones is 9 for his last 60, and that goes back to June. Justin Henry Molloy is hitting .318 at Toledo with a .927 OPS. He had 4 hits in the game last night, and I really liked his at-bats when he was with the Tigers. Look, he may not have gotten on base as much as they wanted him to, but it wasn't, you know, two pitches and he's out. I mean, he was making the pitchers work for it. So I want to see him come back and have an opportunity. And it's not so much an indictment of Jamai Jones, but
Well, you know, he's only playing in situations that are going to be advantageous to him.
And exactly. And if you're not going to thrive in that situation, try somebody else out. So, I mean, that's one that has to change. Another one that's going to have to change and change for the better soon is Zach McKinstry.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's an issue here. Since he went 4-for-5 against the Nationals on July 2nd, he is 18-for-96. That's a 187 average. So he's not getting it done, and this is a longer sample size now, nearly 100 at-bats there. And maybe it's time to start to lean on Colt Keith a little bit more and give him more opportunities to play on an everyday basis.
Colt Keith had a couple brutal at-bats last night before
They had two hits and they had a three home run.
Before pulling it together, but I guess that's baseball. The kid that had the 12, the shortstop, is it Anderson? He had two brutal strikeouts and then fell behind 0-2 on two curveballs and then was one of the ones that got a base hit in that fifth inning. So bottom line here is I don't want to put too much on one freaking baseball game out of 162.
No, not at all.
But I do feel like today's important for the Tigers. 248-539-9797. Tiger fans, you want to sound off on your team? Still in first place. Interesting day today. Troy Milton, who's been very encouraging, gets the start. And Sawyer Gibson Long, according to the beat reporters, has been called up. Joint practices continue from out here at the Allen Park headquarters of the Lions with the Dolphins. Lions having what appears to be a very good day. I'll be intrigued to get the coach's take on it afterwards. Leading into Tiger baseball this afternoon, the series finale from Chicago. Hey, on Tuesday, August the 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day. If you're a football fan and you've been looking at betting on somebody to win the Super Bowl or maybe an MVP or any other award candidate, take a look at FanDuel, the app or the website, on Tuesday, August 26th. They'll be taking your predictions. It is a special day with special odds. So if you want to take a flyer in an MVP race, and I looked it up and I've talked about it, Goff 35-1. What if you can get better odds than that? Jahmyr Gibbs, who Detroiters love, is 121. I know it's tough for a running back, but he is a weapon, right? Or if you want to pick a Super Bowl favorite, again, look for favorable odds, parlays, division winners, dark horses. Mark your calendars. This is your day for hunches, your hot takes, your calls, your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your future bets now. Because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
1-800-GAMBLER. Get to some of your Tiger feedback in a moment.
I saw earlier today watching practice former Detroit Lion defensive lineman and great defensive lineman William Gay was here, part of the Silver Rush days in the Billy Sims era, and playing alongside Bubba Baker and Doug English and all those guys. And as he was coming out of the practice and leaving practice, he goes, "Man, no fights." And I'm like, "Well, there was one over on the other side of the field, but obviously on this side he was."
Well,
watching,
did you see who was in it for the Lions?
Was it St. Brown?
No, it was Isaac Tesla.
Sorry, that's right.
It was on a run play, and it had to do with blocking, and there was some umbrage taken.
And apparently Dan Skipper came over and said, "That's enough."
Yep. All right, so they're working on two-minute drills on the field to our left, and the Dolphins' number one offense against the Lions' number one defense. They put 54 seconds on the clock. They put the ball on the 32-yard line and two timeouts. So Lions on defense, Dolphins complete two passes for a total of 6 yards, then a false start, then an incompletion, and then another incompletion. Four and out for the Dolphins offense, the Dolphins offense against the Lions defense. And now it's the Lions' turn. And again, the ball's placed on the 30-yard line. two timeouts, 54 seconds to go. On the scoreboard, it says 10-10.
It's 10-10.
Yes. And in the Dolphins' case, they didn't get one first down, which kind of follows what the day has looked like. Now it's the Lions' first chance with Goff in a shotgun from his own 30. Back to pass, pocket holds, fires over the middle, and it's caught near midfield.
Hey, guess who?
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Clock running, 44 seconds to go for the Lions offense as they quickly hustle to the line of scrimmage. Ball on the Dolphin 46-yard line. Goff back to pass again. Delivers, and it's caught. Sam Laporta inside the 40.
Brock Wright, I think.
Was it Brock Wright?
Yep.
My apologies. Not the greatest angle we have here. And the Lions will take a timeout with 31 seconds to go. Two plays, and they're in Jake Bates' field goal range. So, got to tell you, it's following everything we see today.
Yeah.
Lions look great.
They'll have a second and three from the 38-yard line. They have looked really, really good. And, you know, a lot of emphasis has been placed on the offense looking a little sluggish lately. That hit the papers today. It was a headline in the Free Press about the Lions offense trying to rebound after a sluggish start to training camp. And I think it's clear that they have ironed some things out, and they've come with a lot of focus today. And maybe let's hope it is the iron sharpening the iron thing in practice.
Yeah,
the defense for the Lions looks that good. We asked Jared Goff about it on Monday, and his response was, oh, hell yeah, the defense looks great.
Yep. So out of the timeout, the Lions have it at the Dolphins' 38-yard line. Goff back to pass, fires, and it's caught. Far sideline, down the sideline, and stepping out of bounds. Is that Meeks?
It is Meeks.
No, it is Meeks. And the Lions now have it. It appears to be in the red zone again. We don't have a great angle.
I'm sorry, that was Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell.
Number 10.
Right, there you go. So another first down for the Detroit Lions. And we're waiting to see where the ball has been spotted. But 23 seconds to go, three plays, three completions, and the Lions have it well within field goal range. And I wouldn't be surprised.
27-yard line.
27-yard line of the Dolphins. Goff from a shotgun back to pass and delivers over the middle, and it's caught once again inside the 20 and diving down, and the Lions taking a timeout.
That's St. Brown.
No, it's 84. Is that Zylstra? Shane Zylstra?
Oh, is that 84?
I believe it is 84. So.
Yes, you are correct, as I see the diminutive one, St. Brown, on the right side coming back to the huddle.
Yep, so the Lions use their last timeout to stop the clock with 17 seconds to go. This
can't take a sack, Doug.
Two-minute drill.
You can't take a sack.
Can't take a sack.
And if you're going to catch it on the sidelines or go to the end zone.
Or throw it into the end zone. They could probably take two shots at the end zone if they want here from the Dolphins 19.
Don't force it.
But this is I mean, this follows everything we've seen today. Lions look good. You got a veteran quarterback in there. The good news is that in a two-minute drill, the Lions' offense, the pocket is held up.
Okay, we've seen this before. Would the Lions dare to run it in this situation?
And spike it?
Yeah. Just because they're situational, they can control
this. They can practice,
this.
They can mess around with that.
Just kind of work with it. It doesn't look like they're going to with an empty backfield.
Well, no, Gibbs is in the backfield, sidecar right. That's Jameer, yeah, so... two receivers split to the left. That's Amon-Ra and Jamo, and Goff looking that way. Fires to Amon-Ra, dives, and incomplete.
Okay. Catch that, because if he caught it, landed in bounds, which is what he was doing, is landing in bounds, the clock would still go.
Clock stops with 12 seconds to go. So
now you're going to take your shot. Yeah. And if it's not there, throw it to the stands.
One shot to the end zone?
Look for Tony Ortiz.
Or TJ Lang now.
Or TJ Lang.
It used to be T.O.
Look for
now.
TJ Lang.
Yeah, so... T.O. did a great job. T.J. does a great job. So, Lions with one crack here in this two-minute drill to get the ball in the end zone, if they so choose. And there's kind of delay here before we run this last play. Now we look ready to go. Goff's got him in the huddle. I'm going to look for Amon-Ra here. I'm just saying.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think that's probably wise, although maybe you get a matchup where Jamison Williams gets a step and he could throw it down in the corner of the end zone.
All right, so Dolphins went four and out in their two-minute drill. Lions have driven down to the Dolphin 19-yard line, third and two, 12 seconds to go here in a two-minute drill. Lions out of timeouts. Goff surveying the defense now as he's got him in the two receivers split to the left, and that's the direction he's looking. He's going to fire down
Jamo.
The sideline, and it's overthrown, incomplete, looking for Jamo at the goal line.
Jamo fell down.
7 seconds to go.
In the end zone.
And, boy, the Dolphins are fired up, and they do get the stop. So I think we'll see Jake Bates come on, and we can answer the question, how does he look, at least on this field goal?
It's like they were reading our minds or listening to the show.
Or they're not going to kick a field goal. Or they're just going to call it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some of the feedback here from Tiger fans. Let's see. What do we got? First one here is from a listener, Dave, who is not impressed and gives us the following. So if the Tigers lose.
We got a fight.
Oh, boy.
We got a Donnybrook.
Where did that come out?
It came out of nowhere.
It looked like they were breaking up the drill. But
that's a congregation right there. The officials are walking off like, we're done with this. Our day's done.
Yes.
We no longer have to worry.
If the officials are leaving, it's up to the teams to break it up.
Yeah, they're like, hey. You guys do you, I think is what he just said as he's walking up.
they've given up on
this.
The
Zebras are gone.
All right, this is from a listener, Dave. So if the Tigers lose today, are you two going to stop making excuses for them, or are you going to start to realize that they are, in fact, in trouble? It is no longer a small sample size. It's been going on since the beginning of June. Thanks.
Okay. Well, what's the excuse?
Well, what's the excuse? I don't know if he's think. I'd like to know what he thinks we've used as an excuse.
Yeah,
they're important. Not playing well.
No.
They're not playing as well as they were. Let's keep in mind that last 15 games, they're 9-6. And while that's certainly not the pace it was.
No, because you go before that, and it was 12 out of 13 they lost. And we're not going to gloss over that. We recognize how awful it was then. They snapped out of it, and they played better baseball since. They're still not playing to the level that they have, and there were missed opportunities early in the game last night that I'm sure they're kicking themselves for. And then you had the weird fifth inning happen like it happened. And then you go to the bullpen, and the bullpen doesn't do the job. And they keep giving up runs. And despite the best efforts from the offense and coming back, and they did score 6 runs, you'd think you'd have a really good chance of winning a game when you score that many, and yet they didn't have a chance.
So, no, they haven't been playing as well as they have. I also want to know what his definition of in trouble is. What is in trouble? Is in trouble mean you think they're going to lose the division? Or is in trouble mean you don't think they're going to win the World Series now? I will tell you when I think they're going to blow the division. That is the first goal. If they are going to play like this the rest of the way, okay? If you're fully convinced that this is, that since the beginning of June, as he says, this is truly who they are, all right? Then I'm not going to try and dissuade you from thinking they're in trouble. I'm not there. I think they can play much better than this, and I think we have 6 months of evidence going back to last year that they can. I think they're more prepared for it this time around, but certain things have got to get better. And I mean, it's a lot of facets of the way they're playing, and even despite that, they're 9-6 in their last 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, am I going to, quote, stop making excuses? I don't think I've ever made an excuse for him, Dave. I just think this is baseball. There are ups and downs, and you got to ride that roller coaster, and one day is way different than the next. So when I think they're in trouble, I'll tell you when I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, I'll look at it, and maybe I'll be a little bit more critical. I think that they really have to find some guys going to click, because what they relied on in the first half of the season, they can't rely on in the second half of the season, because – the players have changed. You don't have the pitching staff from the first half that you're having now. I mean, Reese Olson isn't coming back until maybe October.
Yeah.
And that's a big loss because he was pitching so well. Tommy Canley is not the same pitcher that he was to start the season. Zach McKinstry was an all-star performer in the first half, is nowhere near that right now. And there are, you know, other examples of players that are just simply not having the second half of the season that they had in the first half. So they've got to find ways to click. Torkelson looks good. He looks locked in. Kerry Carpenter looks like he's locked in. Be nice if you think that you can rely on Colt Keith to be that guy. Colt Keith has got his average up in the 260s now, and his OPS is closing in on 800 again. So they've got some guys, but more guys have to click for this team to go, and it's going to have to come in large part from the pitching staff.
248-539-9797. Look, we say it all the time. Don't begrudge you for your feelings. If they're how you feel, that's fine. I don't know if what you want us to say, other than I'm not panicked about them yet. Last night sucked. And if they lose today, yeah, I'm going to be bothered by it. They should win a series against the White Sox. Even though the White Sox have been, since the All-Star break, scoring at roughly 6 runs a game, and they've played much better. Cleveland team chasing the Tigers, just had a series. They took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. Tigers have a chance to do it today. And, again, I suspect that they will, but they play the games for a reason. It's Carson Anderson, open lines. We got a member of the Lions that will join us here coming up shortly. You'll hear from the tight end coach in the 1 o'clock hour. It's joint practice have now concluded with the Miami Dolphins, and we will tell you what we saw today. It looked pretty good if you're a Lions fan. It's Doug Carson, Scott Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, feedback regarding the Tigers. This game is on the smartest guy in the room, Hinch. He took 3 at-bats away from Carpenter tonight in a game you needed runs. 2 of those 3 at-bats would have been against righties. Jones 0-for-3. And then so sick of seeing Jones in place for in the place of our best hitter, Carp. It's ridiculous. Please stop. You know, I mean, he's pulled strings before. He took Carp out the other day, put Veerling, and Veerling hit a bomb. He's not going to get them all right.
No, and it's worked before where he's put Jamie Jones and he's come up with a big hit. But Jamie Jones over the last, like I mentioned, his last 60 at-bats, it's not a very good percentage for him.
Yeah.
So, and he's the last guy on the roster.
Yep.
So that's a guy that can be subbed out if they want to go and try to find something else.
All right, so Lions and Dolphins joint practices have wrapped up, and we're joined now by Christian Mahogany from the Detroit Lions offensive line. I don't want to overstate the case here, but did you guys just whoop their ass?
We'll
I probably see, shouldn't we'll answer
see.
That.
We'll see on the film. We'll see on the film later.
Smart answer. everything we looked here, your offense over here was scoring, and your defense was stopping them.
Yeah, that's
did,
good.
Did you feel – let's slide the mic up a little bit.
Yeah, the energy was good. From I didn't feel the defensive side, but obviously you guys – I believe you guys' words. So, but offensively, we did our thing, I feel like, a little bit. We got the ball rolling.
Yeah. A lot is being asked of you and the interior of the offensive line. How ready are you for this challenge?
I'm excited, you know. I've said it before, pressure, you know, pressure makes diamonds, you know. So I'm ready to go. I mean, I feel confident. We got a good group, young guys, some younger, some older. We got guys all the same age, you know, way more experience, maybe less. Like Tate, Panay, and I are all the same age, but Panay's got 5 years, my second. Tate's his first, so, you know, and then we got the two old guys, you know, like to take care of them as well, but they take care of us more than we take care of them, so.
So talk about the progression of what it was like for you as a rookie last year, and then at the end of the season when you're getting some big-time reps, and now you've got your second training camp to go through and how different it feels for you and how you mentioned you're more confident. Yeah. Where can you kind of point to where it is?
You know, last year I didn't really get a training camp. You know, I had mono. I came down with that. It was a bad case of mono and stuff like that. And then I came in, you know, no expectations from anybody really. I just came and tried to do my thing. I'll just hold it. I just came and tried to do my thing late in the season to try and get reps. You know, Coach Fraley, Coach Campbell, when my practice window opened, that was big for me. I tried to just learn and get as much reps. I didn't know if I would play or not. And then those reps definitely helped. You know, I played in 2 games last year. It just – we got that out the way, you know. So now there's no excuse for anything on my part. I just got to continue to build and grow.
When you did get that playing time, did you know right away, hey, I belong? Or did it take a few reps, a few series, a few – even the two – both games?
You know, it's good feedback, of course, the games. But, you know, hearing it from your teammates, the other coaches, the D-line, they're like, okay, like you do this really well and stuff like that. So I kind of had a feel. I felt like, you know, in practice I was doing some good things. So I felt like I belonged for sure.
Right side, left side, does it matter
for
you?
No, it doesn't matter. I played both. You know, right maybe more comfortable, maybe a little different, but now – full-time left, so I'm going to just keep doing my thing for sure.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
You want to switch out the headset there and see if we can get a better one? Because this one's continuing to give him problems, and we'll sort this out. Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so today Amon-Ra looked uncoverable. Do you have any sense for that, like in practice when you're blocking for him?
Yeah, doesn't he always feel like that, though? Yeah. You know, uncoverable. Yeah. He works very hard. He's one of the best guys I've ever been around, you know, just people in general, not just football players. He was obviously raised really well. He's a good person, and he's humble, you know. Later guy drafted, and he has an edge, and he always keeps that chip on his shoulder, no matter the case. He got paid, whatever. He's still the same guy. So I love Amon-Ra.
Is there an advantage for having the three of you guys in the interior kind of coming in together at the same time, as opposed to, you know, one guy starts one year, another guy starts another year, and then 3 years down the road you bring in a third guy? But you guys are all going in there together this year.
Yeah, I feel like our chemistry, and we're meshing really well. You know, what we like to say, what we don't like to say. You know, how Tate likes to block, how I like to block, how Graham sees blocks fit, everything. It's just we all talk to each other initially. And, like, last year we had, you know, myself go in and Yodi. We had all those guys, but we were just one piece to, like, a structure. So it's kind of like you have to gel all in one, and then it all comes together very quick.
So we're growing very accustomed to guys that are, I don't know, six-round picks becoming quality starters. What is the secret to the sauce? What is Brad Holmes seeing in guys like yourself and others where he's getting starters out of every round of the draft?
I don't know. You know, I felt, you know, I don't like to live in the past, but I felt really good about, you know, my combine and everything of that nature, like that whole draft process. Maybe a team, you know, I don't know what was said, what was done. I don't know. Behind closed doors, but, you know, I fell, you know, into the perfect scenario. Maybe it was better for me in a case, you know. It makes me have a chip on my shoulder, and I always remember those days, and it just fuels me and makes me a better player.
You know, you have probably not a huge sense for this, but, you know, lifelong Detroiters here, and you used to get the sense that when guys came to Detroit that the reaction was, oh, I'm going to Detroit. And now it feels like it's changed.
Yeah, I texted – like, we were in, like, my Madden group chat. Like, we're doing, like, a franchise before the draft, obviously.
Right.
And I was like, I said, like, before Zeitler got signed here, I was like, imagine, like, myself and Panay Sewell, like, on deuce blocks. Like, what would that be like? I said, I'll be – Detroit's, like, a premier spot.
And what did your boys in the Madden group chat think of that?
They thought, like, they were like, holy – you know, I can't say, but they were like, holy – like, you know, so, I mean, and we saw it live in the game, so it felt really good to play next to Panay, Deck as well. So it's unbelievable. Those are the guys, not Panay, but like Decker, you know, I grew up on, you know, yep, watching young guy Madden, all that stuff.
How is your Madden game?
Oh, I love Madden. That's my favorite game. I like Madden, 2K. I like everything, really. I play all the games. MLB, I'm sneaky. I love MLB The Show.
Yeah.
I'm a sneaky MLB guy. I don't really like to go to the games as much, but the game's the game.
So who do you play with?
So we play, like, Diamond Dynasty. It's like create your own player. Like, it's like Madden Ultimate Team, but just baseball players.
Gotcha. Could you create yourself as a player?
No.
Come on.
I would, but, I mean, I can only play catcher or first base. That's all I could do. I'm not, like, agile. I'm not doing shortstop or center field or anything like that.
Which young guy has impressed you, whether a player you've gone against? I mean, you're a young guy. I don't know. Yeah. But who's caught your eye?
I think Isaac Tesla is really doing really well, you know, sitting on the sideline at games. I feel like he has a good catch ball point with the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks know that he can go up and get it at any time, and he blocks well. That's his thing. Like, we saw it today. He got some reps with the ones. He's blocking all the way in the end zone. You know, that's what we preach here. So I'm glad he's able to adjust to the culture. So Tesla and Tate, of course. Tate's mind is really sharp for, you know, I mean, he's not a young guy, but, you know, for being someone a rookie, you know. So
does it get annoying to have to pronounce the last name and emphasize the extra
Mahogany?
Tesla.
Yeah. Tesla. No, I call him Mailtron. Like Mailtron.
we've heard that going around.
That's what I call him, Mailtron. Optimus Prime is good because it's the opposite of, you know, Megatron.
Right.
So he wears 18, so we'll see how that all fits in.
Well, it's been exciting, obviously, to see. What about being the hunted? You guys are clearly the hunted now.
In terms of what? Everything?
Just everybody's like the league.
I don't think we feel that way. You know, I feel like, you know, Coach Campbell, Mr. Holmes, everyone here that's been here for the long journey, you know, they don't feel that way. It's still the opposite. Everyone on the outside could feel like, oh, we're coming after the Lions, but we're coming after you. That's how we feel. Like, it's not, oh, sit back, this is ours. We still got to go. still got a lot to do.
Do you hear that respect? Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Holmes, yeah. I did hear call Mr.
That's,
Holmes.
That's straight up respect.
Huh. Well, hey, look, great to be joined by you. Best of luck this year.
Thank you.
And you look ready for it.
I'm ready.
And the offense looks ready for it. Right. I feel like the defense got you guys ready for today.
They're really good. You know, our defense really good. Coach Shep, he's got those boys rolling. You know, Hutch brings energy that's unbelievable. You know, at times it seems like, you know, he's unblockable. You know, we got good guys on the D-line. We got vet guys, Tyleek coming in. We got DJ Reader. You know, he's a hard-to-move guy, you know. We got Aleem coming back. Don't sleep on Aleem. Aleem's last year unblockable, in my opinion, as well.
Joint practice versus preseason game, which do you prefer?
I don't know. I haven't played in a preseason yet.
That's right. You didn't play last year.
I didn't play last year, and I haven't got the opportunity to play. Like,
yeah, so I think he's saying joint practice.
Yeah, joint practice.
Sounds like joint practice.
All right, well, good luck in Madden and MLB The Show.
Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, guys.
Christian Mahogany off the Detroit Lions offensive line joining us here on Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize but focus on many different areas of the law. You wouldn't go to a doctor who specializes in all sorts of medicine. Why would you do that with your lawyer? Specialization really matters. Educated consumers will choose Michigan Auto Law. Do your research and learn more at autolaw.com. Call my guy Steve and his crew over there if you ever need a lawyer for an accident, because Michigan Auto Law is the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. I almost put poor Christian on the front page of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. What an unfair question to ask a young guy. Did you just whoop their ass? Yeah, Doug, get him to say something derogatory about the Dolphins before we do this again tomorrow and then they play again on Saturday. It was a pretty impressive practice by the Detroit Lions from what we saw today. And look, we can't quite keep our eyes on everything, but the Lions offense is over here scoring touchdowns, and the Lions defense is over to our right getting stops.
Yeah.
Repeatedly over and over and over.
It was as impressive as I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's one practice.
I haven't been out here for a ton of the joint practices. I think we've probably seen a handful of them.
Yep.
This was absolutely dominance on both sides. And to be fair to Miami, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle did not participate in any of that. They did the warm-ups, and they may have done some drills, but they did not get in any of the scrimmage-type action.
Yeah, and so you know how we talked about why we still actually do believe in the – why we believe in the Detroit Tigers? It's because you take in information for a long period of time. You come up with a core belief and you stick by it. And when it starts to take on water, I guess it's up to you to decide when it breaks and you change that core belief. One practice, joint practice, doesn't mean have me thinking that the Lions are going to win every game 49-0.
Super Bowl, Doug.
We also have to say this because people weren't here. Man, is he sweaty.
Well, imagine going through a two-hour practice, you know, when it's 75% humidity and it's over 80 degrees. Yeah, I imagine he might be a little sweaty. Yeah,
sure. We have some equipment that needs to get cleaned up.
Jared Goff, when he came up to us after practice on Monday, looked like he had already, you know, toweled off, changed a shirt, came on over, and was just fresh as a daisy.
He cleaned up. But yeah. Mahogany, look, there's a lot riding on this guy because they let a veteran go that hit free agency. And I'm sure, I mean, you don't do that unless you feel like you have either a replacement or a replacement plan. And he seems like he's going to get the first crack at it and looks like he's up to it.
I love his attitude. Yeah, there's a confidence without question. He's got confidence, but in no way, not even a little bit, does it come across as being cocky. It's just it looks like he's having a blast playing football, and he knows he's good, and he thinks he can get it done and without being cocky. I love it.
Well, he's a big part of the guys that need to step it up this year for the Detroit Lions, if they are to match last year's regular season success, which is going to be tough given the schedule. But probably the best part about all this is an offense that everybody had said was behind. When they played against somebody else, they didn't look behind. But again, it's one data point. There's going to be plenty of them, and everything that happens in practice in the regular season or the preseason, you never really know.
No, we'll see tomorrow how things look, if they look different at all. It was last year, the year before, we mentioned they had the practice. One practice looked terrible, and then, you know, the next practice they came up and showed up. So I would expect the Dolphins would have a better practice tomorrow.
I really hope Waddle and Hill participate. They were in uniform. They went through warm-ups today, yeah. But when the Lions got on the field, those guys were sitting out. They've been nursing various injuries. So,
and as a team, they stayed out on the field for a while after practice. The whole team did. Like, there was a discussion there in midfield on the practice field.
Yeah. In the meantime, we asked him which young guy looks good, and who did he say? Isaac Teslaw. And look, Isaac Teslaw looked like he was about to get a Gatorade jug over there on the sidelines when he was driving a guy out of the end zone, into well off the field, which started the fights. And this is or a fight, a pushing and shoving, whatever it was. This is what we've heard all along, and this is what we saw early from J-Mo, wide receivers that enthusiastically block.
Yeah, and I think it was a good thing we didn't see fights breaking out all the time, because that's disrupted the practice. So there was that one skirmish there, and then there was one after practice it was called. Everything seemed fine, and then all of a sudden you see some pushing and shoving in the middle of the fields there. But look, be healthy. That's all we care about. Stay healthy, get stronger, and let's get the season started.
Well, it's not all we care about, but it's certainly it's not all that I care about, but it certainly is important. And yeah, I mean, Davenport, you know, he looks the part. Stay healthy, right?
Yes.
All those guys in the secondary got the job done today against not Hill and Waddle. Stay healthy.
Yeah, well, Doug, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to interrupt, but Doug, the Palm Beach Post reported that Waddle was in on several plays during 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 portion of the practice.
Okay, well, I'm glad I did not see him, but that is certainly encouraging because they didn't do much offensively. So I'm glad you interrupted with that. Because early on they were taking a knee over on the side, but
yeah, just kind of in the backfield watching stuff happen. But hey, good. The other thing I was going to say is that, you know, we know that Hutch has been a problem in Lions practices in training camp so far with the Hutch rules and all that. Same thing with Miami. He was constantly in the backfield, constantly disruptive, and I imagine it was quite frustrating for the Dolphins to go through that. There were a number of plays where Tua doesn't get off a pass, and he's frustrated. Just time runs out. You know, you're looking, and that's part of that's the pass rush. The other part is that the coverage, the Lions secondary is doing a hell of a job in covering the receivers. So that's good to point out. It's nice to have both sides of it working well. You got the pass rush, and then you've got the guys in the back that are covering things so tightly, it allows that defensive line to get to the quarterback, give them that extra half second that they need.
Hey, Kang, back in our studios, anything from Mahogany that you thought stood out that warrants further discussion?
Yeah, the fact that we forget how young Penei Sewell is. When he mentioned that they're the same age, and I was like, wait a second, let me look this up. Yep, both 24. Mahogany born October 11th, year 2000. Penei Sewell born October 9th, year 2000. They're 2 days apart. And so if Mahogany turns out to be good, you got some studs right there. I mean, we already know Penei Sewell's a stud, but that's how this is done. You know, you draft, develop, and you hopefully re-sign, and he's hopefully one of those guys. So the fact that he's so young, Penei Sewell's so good already at the same age.
And Tate Ratledge as well.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, that's what stood out to me. Like, hey, this could be for the long haul, and that's where this team is built from the inside out.
Well, you hope they got it right with Tate, because a lot is expected of him as well. And look, we did our best to focus on the interior of the offensive line, and you know, during commercial breaks when we could watch, and there were some runs up the middle that indeed looked pretty good today. I'm sure they'll sit down with the film and they'll grade them out.
And the quarterbacks had plenty of time to throw, it looked like. I mean, there were a couple plays where maybe it took a little bit longer to get something going there, but for the most part, they were throwing the ball downfield. And when in doubt, look for 14. He was always open.
Good God, was he ever. All right, so coming up next hour, we're here watching Lions practice, Gator, and seeing stuff that encourages us. Let's transport to Ann Arbor and East Lansing, not literally, but figuratively, and give a couple things that we would like to see those teams look good at as they get ready for the season. What are some things that you would like to see from practice at Michigan and Michigan State that are going to be keys to those teams having the best seasons they could possibly have? We'll get to that at 102. And don't forget, we got Tiger baseball coming up at the back half of the hour as they wrap up the series in Chicago against the White Sox. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.